Good morning and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is a delight to be here. It is Saturday, June the 29th. What do you say, Scott?
I say goodbye, June.
Goodbye, June.
That went by fast.
Yeah, we're halfway through the year, right? Isn't that right? You got awfully quiet there, Scott.
There you are.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can.
Can you hear me now?
Can.
All right. So welcome to the Yard Pro Show, folks, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. If you'd like to find us during the week, it is very simple at CarolinaFreshFarms.com. That is CarolinaFreshFarms.com. We are your landscape supply specialist. So anything out there that you may need from sod, of course, because we are a sod grower. That's what we pride ourselves in. We produce sod on over 2,000 acres of land down in the Midlands Low Country of South Carolina. We pride ourselves there, but we're beyond and much bigger than that. We do a lot of mulch products from pine straw, the double ground hardwood mulch, a lot of hardscape products. So, Scott, you just showed me a nice picture that a young man, a landscape company, did of a nice paver patio, a little bit of Tremron retaining wall, kind of a knee wall with a cap so people can sit around it, and a fire pit in the middle. On the lake, it looked like.
Yeah.
Was it not?
Was, on Hartwell.
So you said that was Diego, right?
Yes.
Did a great job with that. So glad to have him as a customer. So whether no matter what kind of project you're working on, maybe you're a do-it-yourself. Maybe you're looking for herbicides, pesticides, things like that to control the little creepy crawly things around the lawn. We're the place you can find that. Whether it's mulch, we're the place you can find that. Whether it's, you know, you want to tackle a do-it-yourself patio, natural stone walkway or natural stone retaining wall, we have the products you need. But sometimes people forget, Scott, we also have the contacts to the contractors that if you need a recommendation on a contractor, you know, give us a call. We're happy to help you out, help you find a contractor that suits your needs. We keep really close tabs on those contractors as well. And, you know, we feel, though, although they don't work for us, they have nothing to do with us, if we're going to recommend them, it's also kind of a reflection of who we are as a company. So if you're looking to do some contract work out there from landscaping perspective, please don't hesitate. At the very least, pick up the phone, call us. You know, one of the things too, Scott, that sometimes people may or may not understand, and they're fine to do it. Sometimes, you know, maybe they want to come pick out the product, even purchase the product from us, and then find someone to install it. So we can help you arrange that as well.
True.
So if you'd like to buy the product direct, feel free, give us a call. So during the week, or you can find us at CarolinaFreshFarms.com. So Scott, we're at the beginning of the show. We're at the top of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of June, right? What are kind of the hot topics?
About to say, get ready because it's coming.
Well, you know, we said it last weekend. You know, last week I said it. It feels like summer's here because, you know, we had just went through our summer solstice, first day of summer on the 21st of June, longest day of the year, and the humidity has really returned. For the most part. And there were a few days this week, humidity was a little lower, wind was blowing, it was nice. But then we got these pop-up thunderstorms. You feel that humidity creeping in mid-afternoon, and by late afternoon, early evening, you know, we're getting a little rain here and there and thunderstorms. It's going to be really hot, though, this coming week. I mean, we're going back to the mid to upper 90s this coming week. You know, who knows? Our listeners in Columbia, they may even see triple digits.
Yeah.
So it's going to be nasty. You know, for your 4th of July. Oh, by the way, happy Independence. Your 4th of July is coming up this coming Thursday. I'm sure many people are listening today on their way to the beach, right?
Probably so.
Yeah, not me. I get to relax for a day, day and a half, and then head to Statesville, North Carolina to do another Tiff Eagle Sprig job. Just finished one this week. I got to give a shout-out to Willow Creek Golf Club in Greer.
That's right.
Towards between Greer and Woodruff. Good friend of ours, Kyle Trainum, superintendent there, was gracious enough to have us install Tiff Eagle Sprigs this week. So here in about 8 weeks, he should be reopened with some really great greens. So if you enjoy playing golf, keep your eye on Willow Creek. The neat thing right now, he's got the golf course open, but you play it backwards. So he's got tee markers kind of towards the approach of the green, and you play back to a temporary green on a tee box. Now, that sounds crazy, a temporary green. It's not mowed as tight as a green. Here's the deal, though. I want to go play it. One, you get to play a golf course backwards, which I think would be fun, right? Here's the other interesting thing. It is an 8-inch cup on the green, folks. It is your one time to be able to go out to experience it. You can probably one putt every green. You could have 18 one putts in a round. And for all the golfers out there, they're going, man, that'd be awesome. It's an 8-inch cup. It's huge, man. You got to go try it.
Well, so, we may have to do that. I think I could actually.
Yeah, maybe you and I should get together one evening in the next couple of weeks. And
after this week, let's see what the temperatures look like the following
week. Yeah. So, Scott, I digress. We want to invite you to interact with us today. You can take yourself from the listenership and become a participant. It is very easy. First and foremost, you can text us at 71307. That is 71307. If you do text us, one thing I would ask is if you could put maybe your city or upstate or Midlands where you live at the end of your text, because some of the questions as they come in this time of the year, Scott, sometimes it's nice to know what geographical area of South Carolina you're in, because that may determine the recommendation that we give. So if you could remember to do that, it'd be great. And as always, you can call us at 1-800-347-1063. Speaking of the phone line, Scott, we have Dennis, who's been waiting patiently. I saw Dennis called in like the minute the bumper music kicked in at the beginning of the show. So we want to welcome Dennis to the Yard Pro Show. Welcome, Dennis. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Independence Day, because I'll forget it at the end because I'm an old guy. I got two quick questions.
Sure.
One is, I did a core aeration about a month ago on my common Bermuda. I got some acreage of common Bermuda. And I've been pushing it this year to get it to fill in and the bare spots and all that kind of stuff. And it's working pretty good. I did a core aeration about a month ago. And I'm thinking about doing another one here after the next rainstorm in a week or so. But I've had people tell me, do one every 2 years, do one every month, and everything in between. So I thought I'd ask you guys.
As far as what? Core aeration?
Core aeration.
Yeah, I mean, to me it's pretty simple, Dennis. Take an old screwdriver. Wouldn't suggest you use your newest, best screwdriver. Unless you were like me as a kid, you know, I would always just take one out of Dad's toolbox and get fussed at. Maybe because I'd leave them in the yard and they get rusty. I'm not real sure.
Or ran over with a mower.
Yeah, but take a screwdriver, and after a normal rain event, you know, when you feel like you just have normal soil moisture, try to insert it. It should be fairly easy to insert up to the 3 to 4 inch depth. And if you can do that, then your yard's fairly well aerified, probably not a necessity. Now, if you feel like you've got to go get a 10-pound sledgehammer to get it to insert to an inch depth, then that's when you really want to think about
core aerification.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Hurt if I do it, even though it may not quote-unquote need it?
No, not especially on common Bermuda. That won't hurt it at all during this time of year.
I own the aerator, so I mean, I can do it anytime I want. So I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to hurt the Stolens or whatever.
No, it may help you a little bit. And, you know, you've got common Bermuda if it's compacted. A couple of aerifications this growing season. The biggest thing with aerifying any lawn, whether it's common Bermuda, Zoysia, any warm season lawn or any cool season lawn, we want to aerify it during a period that it is actively growing and healthy and happy. So a tall fescue lawn, Dennis, we wouldn't do that now because of the heat. But a warm season lawn, now is the time to get out there, core aerify, loosen that soil up. So if you want to do it a few times because it's been a few years since you've done that and it's severely compacted, knock yourself out. But I wouldn't advise doing it in Aiken. You're probably good to aerify up until about mid-August, and then I would cut it off. No more aerification. That'll give you time to recover before winter.
Yeah, I was going to do it in like mid-July after a rainstorm or something. Okay,
perfect.
Second quick question is, do you guys have a preference between liquid pre-emergent versus granule pre-emergent? Because I've tried both, and I'm not sure I like either of them, to be honest.
Well, with you on acreage, I would go with liquid.
Yeah, because it is going to be a little more cost-effective.
Yeah.
If you've got away the spray and you've got acreage, a liquid application is going to be far better on the pocketbook or on the wallet.
But if it's not effective, it's not.
Well, it should be effective. Now, if it's not effective, there's a couple things that I would really – that you really need to hone in on, because we get a lot of calls like this, Dennis. Hey, I sprayed this product. It didn't work. Rest assured, these companies are spending millions upon millions on research and development for these products, for the active ingredients. Or maybe their old active ingredients have been around for 30, 40 years that are proven. We know the products are good. So when we have something that fails to work, it's either a timing issue, so I didn't get it out in an appropriate amount of time or early enough when it comes to pre-emergent. I see that a lot, where people kind of get behind the eight ball, the soil temperature increases a little sooner than they thought it would. So maybe they're a little late applying it. It can also be a rate issue if you're spraying or using a granular. It's all about the rate. You may not have enough product out there initially to give you the longevity that you need. Because when you deal with pre-emergence, it's about the amount of product you're using per acre or per 1,000 square foot. Not the product itself, but it's the amount of active ingredient that we're applying. And
I'm putting chlordiamine down.
And if we're a little light on that, we may think we're right, but if we're a little light, then what happens with a pre-emergent, we might get control. Like prodiamine, you said you're using it. That should be a good 45-day product. So if we're not getting 45 days of control out of it, then we're going light. There's got to be an issue with the rate. It was put at too light of a rate. So check your rates real close. Either one should – a granular – most people go granular just because it's easier. Most people don't have a spray apparatus where they can effectively go spray a product uniformly over a 10,000, 12,000, or 30,000 square foot lawn.
Yeah. Well, I've got a nice sprayer, so I guess it's got to be the rate then, because I thought I was measuring out right, but I probably put it on a little too thin. But I've been trying to put out the prodiamine about every 5-6 weeks, in a lighter coat, but maybe I'm just not doing it heavy enough, so I'll try that.
Check your rates real good, and if you need some help, when you get out there and you really get into it, checking your rates, feel free to reach out to one of our stores. We've got a great store there in Aiken. Jason, Megan, their staff over there are very knowledgeable. They can help you. If they feel like they can't help you, what's nice is if it's something they're not well versed in, they're going to find someone within our organization, get you in touch with them.
Both Jason and Megan have been very, very helpful
for
a couple of years now. And I mean, my hat's off to them. And they're my go-to people normally. So,
We appreciate the business and certainly appreciate the call this morning.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. Have a great weekend. Scott, it's great to have a nice conversation with Dennis from Aiken. That's a great market, a great place to live in the state of South Carolina. And I know the airwaves, it broadcasts down that way, so it's great to hear Dennis. Hopefully he'll tell all of his friends, hey, there's a great show you can tune into on Saturday mornings called the Yard Pro Show. So that's what we're here for, is to give you some knowledge. Speaking of that, let's go to Mary, who's been waiting patiently in Simpsonville. Hello, Mary, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hello. Good morning to you. I have a question about Holly Stephen hollies, or Nellie Stevens hollies, I'm sorry. I've never grown them before, and I'm wondering, should I be raking the leaves that have dropped underneath of them, or should I just leave them there? The trees are all healthy, okay? So they don't have a fungus or anything, but I don't know whether to leave them there for moisture, to keep the moisture in and protect them in the winter, or to actually just rake out from underneath of them.
I would try to get some of that leaf litter from underneath as much as I could. And the reason I would do that, Mary, I know you may have it mulched, and some people say, well, mulch may harbor insects, it may harbor disease, but what really concerns me with leaves, we seem that they can roll over, they have a little cup to them, they can hold more moisture, but that's going to lead to more insects and more disease potential. Now, the good thing with Nellie R. Stevens hollies, they're very well adaptive to our market. Normally, we don't see a lot of disease or insect issues on that, do we, Scott?
No.
So I would take the leaf litter out, though, especially things like now that we're in the season, mosquitoes. A lot of people think that, mosquitoes, why do I have so many mosquitoes in my yard? I don't have a pond. Well, probably because you're holding too much moisture, especially under a very thick, vegetatively thick plant. It stays really damp and moist there, and the mosquitoes are going to breed.
And so, that leaves thick even when it drops off before it starts decaying for it to break down compared to like a maple leaf or an oak leaf.
It's going to take quite a while.
Quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much for, you know, your help. I appreciate that.
We appreciate you listening to the show this morning. You have a great weekend gardening.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, Scott, that's one thing we hadn't got a lot of questions about, which is mosquitoes. You know, I really haven't had that big of an issue in my yard this year. And I think it's because we've been somewhat dry. You know, one thing we didn't do at the beginning of the show,
that's
the
true.
Weekly drought report.
Go ahead.
All right, the weekly drought report real quick before we take our next caller. Currently, only 37% of our state is under drought, Scott. So that is an improvement from the previous week by 13% improvement. So we're beginning to get a little rain, but I think it's not that deluge of rain like we had at some point last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have the folks over in Horry County are suffering. They're in D1 over that kind of southeastern quadrant of the state of South Carolina. Most of this is in the low country. There's a little bit of D0, which is abnormally dry, which is the stage of drought technically, but abnormally dry soils. From Lancaster, looks like a little swath, maybe just west of I-77,
mm-hmm.
Going back into Columbia. So a little dry over that neck of the woods, but it normally is this time of year. So we're in pretty good shape. Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines real quick. We have Ron in Greer. Hello, Ron, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, good morning. I just real quick word of thanks, y'all. You guys have the best character, whether I call it and talk to you on the phone or see in person. You're always respectful. You're always helping and building others up. Neither one of you ever gave me a disparaging word or a condescending attitude. And I just want to tell you something. That's the mark of somebody who knows how to teach. Anyway.
Thank you, Ron.
I appreciate it. Well, I'll tell you, you ought to see my yard. You guys are something else. But my question for today is simply this. How often do I need to do the soil sample?
I mean, for me, it's once a year.
Yeah. With your warm season lawn, you know, start that right in, right in the beginning of January.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot of people, and sometimes we don't talk about it enough, Ron. Number one, and you take advantage of this, I know you do, and I wish more people would. Number one, we do free soil testing. So you can drop it by our store. We'll take care of it. We'll send it off. And then the great thing is when it comes back, instead of you just getting a report and say, all right, good luck, go interpret this yourself, we'll help you interpret that, figure out what type of adjustments you may need to make in your fertility program within your lawn, your landscape, or your garden. As far as when to take it, if I had a warm season lawn, I would take it in January. That would be my New Year's Day thing, you know, while you know, everybody's coming over, you're getting the lawn ready, maybe you're having family over, whatnot. Go out and take a soil sample sometime the first part of January. Let's get it sent off, and let's go ahead and see where we stand, because we can make minor adjustments in our fertility program beginning in March when we begin to use fertility products on warm season lawns. Then we can make some adjustments and get your yard off to a good start once it transitions.
Yeah. Think of your yard like your own little farm. So plan a season ahead, get ready for that upcoming season.
Yeah, and here's a good one, Scott and Ron. Think of the soil sampling kind of like the flu shot. We do things early as a preventative measure, right? We want to kind of head things off early so that we know that, you know, everything's going to be in good standing, good order. It's kind of like taking the flu shot. We know if you get a flu shot, chances are you're not going to get the flu.
You said my line now.
Yeah. So if we take that soil sample before the growing season really starts, Ron, I think it gives us more opportunity to get out there and make some adjustment in your fertility before we get into the heat of the growing season.
Okay, so take it January 1st, I need the information by March.
That's
beginning
right.
of March.
That gives us ample time to get.
And the good thing about that time period, that's not a busy time for us or the soil testing area.
That is true, or for the labs.
Yeah.
So normally we can get the results back a little bit quicker, but also it gives us more time to be able to interpret those results, work with you, make a good plan for the upcoming season. Now, I said that. Scott and Ron, I don't want people to think, well, I hadn't taken a soil sample in 3 years, so I'm just going to wait until January. If you're experiencing some issues in the lawn, let's go ahead and take a soil sample now. You can take them any time of the year, but, you know, I'm trying to answer Ron's question, Scott, in a way that what is the best time, and I think it's really in that January, February time frame.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a warm season lawn. If you have a fescue lawn, Ron, you'd probably want to take that soil sample about now. Let's send it off so that we can get prepared for what's ahead of us, because in the fall of the year, we can really do some things to amend your soil and your fertility on a fescue lawn.
All right. Well, I'm set now. Gentlemen, once again, you ought to hear the comments people make about my yard.
Well, we
it's
appreciate that. And we appreciate the kind words you opened up with, Ron. That means a lot, because that's the intent. You know, I used to open the show up and tell you, you know, the purpose – And I don't talk much about it now because we've been on the air a long time. But our intent is to provide knowledge and information about lawns and landscapes in the state of South Carolina. That's kind of a mission of this particular show. So we really appreciate the kind words. Tells us we're doing our job.
All right, sir. Hey, and you do a great job at it, too. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. See you, Ron.
Bye. You know, great phone calls to kick off the first half of the show. We're starting to wind the first half down, but don't be afraid. Phone lines are open, 1-800-347-1063. We'd love to talk with you in the second half of the show, as well as the text line, 71307. As a matter of fact, we got a text. We got a minute. I'll talk about it. Greenville, South Carolina. How do I fix black mold all over the crepe myrtles? Thanks. It's probably sooty mold, and I think something as simple as Daconil would be your go-to as a fungicide. That should really help take care of it. Sunlight and air movement is going to help a lot as well. Normally, when you see these in the area and the landscape maybe tucked in around the eave of a house is when we begin to see that.
And don't spray it when especially this week during a hot.
Yeah, if you're going to spray it this week, you need to do it early in the morning or late in the evening. So, folks, you're tuned in to the Yard Pro Show. We have to take that bottom-of-the-hour break. While we're in the break, give us a call at 1-800-347-1063 or text us at 71307. And don't forget, you can find us on the Internet at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is a sunny, warm day out there, wouldn't you say, Scott?
I would agree with that.
A little humid. It is June the 29th. We are just a few days from Independence Day. We hope all of you will have a happy and safe Independence Day. Celebrate it well. If you're in the South, if you're in South Carolina, man, you can't celebrate Independence Day without pig, right? Got to eat some barbecue. I don't know if I'll get to, though. I'll be at Camp Owendon. It's our week of summer camp.
And you couldn't have picked a better week.
I know. It's going to be 70s. A great week. Yeah, 78 at night, you know, 97 during the day. What a fabulous week to be at camp, sleeping in that great outdoors, you know.
Humidity,
98%. Yeah. You know.
Sounds like a blast.
You know, even a hot week at camp, still fun at Camp Owendon up in the mountains. It's kind of nice.
Okay, sure.
It is. It's
use
fun.
Use that psychology on
it's
yourself.
It's fun, the fellowship. And
I would agree with that.
Get to hang out for a few days. The hard parts can be getting there because we have 2 days of sprigging up in Statesville, North Carolina. It's going to be rather warm for that, but we'll get through it. It's why they make wide-brim hats and water, right? Drink plenty of water. Hey, and I need to say that. You're out here working in the garden today,
yes.
Folks. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. Okay, we talked a little bit, too, about the drought report. You were showing me a few things during the break, talking about fireworks. If you're going to go out there and shoot fireworks, actually, you know what? My rule of thumb as a family, if the kids want to shoot fireworks off once a year, January, because we're always wet, okay, right now is probably not a good time to go shoot fireworks. I know it's fun and all, but go watch the professional show, you know. There's no fun in burning down your neighbor's house or your own house.
I think this year I'm getting a hotel.
Are you?
I think so.
Yeah. In town? In the concrete jungle? So you don't have to, maybe things, you know, you don't have lawns to catch on fire.
It goes
leaves
off.
To catch on fire.
It keeps going 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we hope you have a great week.
Yes,
celebrating
a safe one.
Celebrating the independence. Just be safe. So we're going to go to phone lines. We have Bill who found us in the bottom of the hour, and we would love to talk with Bill in Lexington. Hello, Bill, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I want to ask you about trying to kill some vines that have gotten into some good shrubbery and blueberries. They've been there for several years. I've cut them back. I imagine they have a pretty good root system. I'm thinking about painting on some glyphosate or weed killer, but I'm worried that they may have grafted into the good plants. And I wonder if that's a danger.
You know, typically most of our vines don't, I don't think you're going to get any, and I see what your worry is that if the vine has somehow attached into the basal stem or the stem of your desired plant, I think what I would do is take the vine, Bill, put on a pair of gloves and pull it out of the plant, pull it away a little bit. If you lay it down on the ground, maybe instead of having – and painting glyphosate is a great idea because, you know, that's only absorbed through leaf tissue. So that's a great idea, and we've suggested that a lot. But if you pull that vine far enough back, maybe instead of you having to take the tedious time to paint the vines, maybe you can get it far enough back, you can use low pressure and low volume of spray or a higher volume, low pressure with bigger droplets and actually spray those vines once you pull them off of the desired plant, kind of lay them over to the side. Put some kind of windbreak up around the plant, you know, like a piece of cardboard, something like that. I saw something ingenious at a golf course this week for when we spray bent grass greens. There's still a few golf courses out there that have them. Some of the products we use on bent grass greens or on Bermuda grass collars can be detrimental to bent grass greens. So they took a piece of plexiglass on the spray rig and drop it down, and it rolls on that edge, and it's basically a spray shield that keeps the drift from getting into the desired area. So use that concept with maybe a piece of plywood or, you could use plywood, a piece of cardboard, something like that would work. But I don't think I'd be too concerned about if I target specifically that vine, I don't think it's going to metastasize into your desired shrub or tree, is my thoughts. So I think you'll be safe to do it.
I hope so. Some of these have pretty large bulbs that are growing. You cut back the top, the bulb lives, and if you almost have to dig up the whole plant to get all of it.
Well,
I was just wondering if maybe the poison would go through the weed and get into the root structure.
No, once glyphosate is into the soil profile, it is very unlikely that the roots are going to absorb it. Now, if we took a plant and stuck it directly in a solution of glyphosate, that may be a different story. But applying it to the foliage and it translocating into the root system and then poisoning the soil in some people's eyes, that's just not going to happen if you use it appropriately. Always read your label. And that is how Roundup works. But once it gets into that soil profile, it's really going to cause, you know, hardly any, if any. I would be very surprised if it called in any damage. I actually had a call this week. It's kind of ironic you call in from a arborist who was on a site and with some herbicide injury, two trees, two shrubbery, and the company maintaining it had switched from glyphosate because of the fear and decided to go with diquat, which I really question because diquat is a very dangerous product. You really need to take a lot of precaution when you're mixing that product and applying it. But diquat, what makes it kind of or much more dangerous than glyphosate is the fact that it is absorbed so much easier through your skin, through plant material, the whole nine yards. That's why the LD50 is a lot lower on it, and it's a lot more dangerous product. So I would stay with the glyphosate product. I think it's a very safe product. I still use it in my yard. I think for a broad spectrum, what you're trying to do, and it's a complete kill. If we go to diquat, finale, some of these other products, yeah, they'll burn the tops of perennial stuff like a vine, but you're not going to get complete control out of them like you will with glyphosate. No doubt about it, it's not going to work as well. Now, they're fine. These other products are fine for a young seedling, you know, on the edge of a shrub bed, something along that ladder. They work great for that, for a young seedling that doesn't have much of a root system. But if you're dealing with a vine that has a tuber, I think, you know, glyphosate's going to be one of your better options out there. Just err with precaution. Read your protective equipment protocol and make sure you follow it from the label.
it's always worked good for me, and I don't mind waiting a week or two for the results to show up.
Exactly.
So that's not a problem. Before I go, y'all were mentioning mosquitoes. I just wanted to tell you that I found a really good product that's easy and effective. Black Flag puts out a fogger. You have a little propane tank, and you put out a fog. It's not very expensive. It works fast, and for a family gathering, you can fog an acre within about 15 minutes, and
yep.
The mosquitoes, all the bugs will be gone for the day.
Yeah, several years ago, we were selling some of those, and they are very effective.
What is that, pyrethrin?
It's a pyrethrin,
yeah.
or a pyrethroid is what you use in that, and you put it under a little propane heater in there. It heats it up, and it makes a nice little fog. Yeah, and the same thing with that, just use a little bit of caution, you know, put a mask on. Don't stand there and run it. Now, when I was a kid, though, when they would come through cleaning the streets and spray down through Pitts Meadows, we'd get on our bikes and we'd ride in the fog behind the fogging mosquito. You know, the city used to control mosquitoes.
That is what's wrong with you.
And we just, you know, it was fun, man, to chase that flashy light and ride in the fog, you know. I turned out okay, I guess.
Maybe.
I agree.
this product works really well for a family gathering, and especially if you go to tackle a tractor that's been sitting up for a while that you have to do a little work on.
That's right.
Move in, you fog it, and just run them all off.
That's right. That's a great idea. So, well, Bill, you hold the fort down in Lexington. We really appreciate the call this morning.
Thank you for the info.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great weekend in gardening. You know,
I love that. Maybe.
Maybe. That probably is what happened. Yeah, you know, you have to err with caution.
With anything.
With anything. I mean, it's even table salt, okay? If you don't believe it, start using more salt and go for your annual checkup and see what the doctor says, right?
The fluoride in your toothpaste.
The fluoride in the toothpaste, you know? You have to use caution with, you know, that's why we have labels, I mean, without a doubt. Now, one thing that Bill, and we're going to move very quickly to some text because we've got some great text questions. But one thing while, you know, we're talking about mosquitoes a little bit there because it is that season. Scott, there's a couple things. One of my favorites that we have at the store is a product called Tempo, made by Bayer. Mm-hmm. A great product. And what's neat about Tempo, it's labeled for inside use and pantry use.
It is.
And also in industrial kitchens. Okay, so we can use this for the state insect, which is the palmetto bug, right? Mm-hmm. We can also use this for the Argentine sugar ants, those little ants that come in your house sometimes in the heat of the summer. Those are Argentine sugar ants is what they are. They're scavenging, looking for sweet things, all right? But what's neat, if you can make an app, if you got a mosquito issue, like Bill said, you got a fogger. But what if you can't find a fogger with a pyrethrin or a pyrethroid? Those products work great. You can actually mix those and spray. It's on the label. The key with mosquito control in your yard is spraying underneath shrubbery, spraying underneath your deck. I know for me, I have a deck that's elevated. I have some Burfordi hollies, you know, that are very lush and green. I have some rhododendron that are very lush and green on one side of the deck where it's shady.
Shady areas, moisture.
It's a lot. There's a river birch there. There's the big water oak tree on the other side. We have a lot of moisture on one side. You have to go treat underneath the shrubbery, underneath the deck. You have to go to these damp, moist areas and treat those areas as well. And if you do that, believe it or not, you'll have pretty good control of mosquitoes for at least 2 weeks, if not 3 or 4 weeks. You can do it yourself. Hey, you can do it yourself. You can come to our store and buy your products and do it yourself.
You remember everybody used to use malathion.
Yeah, and you know malathion works great, but
it
here's
does.
The problem with malathion.
It stinks.
It stinks to high heaven. Don't spray malathion 30 minutes before you're having a dinner party outside because no one's going to want to sit
Give
out
it
there.
A couple of days.
It's kind of like milorganite. You know, now we have 6111 as an organic fertilizer. Milorganite is Milwaukee sewer sludge. Fantastic product, but here's the problem. You'd sell it, somebody put two bags in the backyard, they call 3 days later and go, man, I thought we had a sewer line that had ruptured in the backyard, and then it realized, do you think the fertilizer, yes, milorganite stinks, okay? It's Milwaukee sewer sludge. That's what it is, okay? Great organic fertilizer, mm-hmm. natural fertilizer, high in iron, but the 6111, we don't have the odor, and it is organic as well. So, you know, the little things like that. It's kind of like, hey, you can go malathion, but Tempo might be a better option
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, malathion right there.
Yeah. Malathion was used. We have a text here. Malathion was used for mosquitoes when I was young. Is it still available?
It is still available.
We still stock
chemical.
It.
We do.
It's a great product. It's been around for a long time. So, Scott, I want to go to these texts. You can text us at 71307 if you would like. Let's see if we can get down here to the bottom where they started. I have a Bermuda grass, and I have these large clumps of supernatural, alien, scary-looking stuff growing throughout the lawn. Man, that was a mouthful. I did well on that, didn't I?
We don't have any chemical that'll take care of that.
I'm from up north, so I don't recognize it, but it does look like northern crabgrass, except in large clumps the size of a dinner plate. I have a lawn service, and they said they can kill it during the winter. I was wondering if there was something I could do to kill it this time of year. It could be... It could be several things, okay? Mm-hmm. It could be a crabgrass, okay, from a lack of or pre-emergent breaking down or a lack of pre-emergent or bad timing in pre-emergent. You know, we talked earlier with the caller, I think it was Dennis and Aiken was asking about pre-emergent. It could be a lack of pre-emergent. So it could be a winter annual like crabgrass that's going to disappear. What I'm afraid it is Dallas grass. Dallas grass is really peaking right now, and it is about the size of dinner plate, a little
it
bit
is
bigger,
very
coarse. Here's the simple way that we can identify it from a picture, okay? If you will text a picture of this, let it grow, let us see a seed head on this. It has a tall spike, grows up, what, a foot and a half tall?
Foot and a half. You have two on one side and one on the other.
Yeah. So you have the seed pods, I guess is the best way to describe it, that hang off of the stem of the spike that the mm-hmm. seed comes off of, and they're kind of black looking. You'll see kind of a black, hairy looking thing on the seeds, okay? You can take a picture of that. You can text it. It's very simple, or email it, I guess is the best way. You can email that to, let's say, Anderson at CarolinaFreshFarms.com, just because Scott's sitting here, or, you know, no matter where you're from, didn't say where you're from. You could text it to Duncan at CarolinaFreshFarms.com or email it there, and we can get a positive ID. But here's the deal. If it is Dallas grass, it's in Bermuda grass, which is a warm season lawn, right? Mm-hmm. If it is Dallas grass, you'd be better off trying to control it now.
Right now.
Because
then,
anything you spray to control Dallas grass in Bermuda grass is going to be detrimental to the Bermuda grass. But the Bermuda grass is growing actively now. So we
you'll
might,
get it grown in before.
We're not going to completely kill whatever we spray. It's not going to kill the Bermuda grass, but it's certainly going to turn it yellow and ugly. All right? You can't really control Dallas grass, in my opinion, in the dead of winter. And I know what this lawn service may be thinking. Well, the Bermuda grass goes dormant. I can go spray Roundup on Dallas grass. Not on Dallas grass. Now, what it could be, too, is clumps of fescue. That's why you need to send a picture so we can positively identify the weed. But they're from up north. They should know what fescue looks like. And if it looks like nothing they've ever seen from living up north, I doubt it's fescue. I almost guarantee it's
Dallas grass.
And if it's Dallas grass, I would control it now, because we can regrow those bare areas. Even if we take it out in the winter, here's the problem. We're going to have bare dirt there for the rest of the winter and all through the spring. Let's control it now so that we can get the Bermuda grass to grow back over. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes.
So send us an email. I hope that texture will, because I think that we can certainly help you out. How do I – wait a minute. Oh, here we go. How do I keep snakes away? We've had three huge black snakes this year. Normally, I have no issue with black snakes, but one climbed a porch post and got into a birdhouse with chicks inside. It was so big, it got stuck in the birdhouse and broke my wife's heart. That's a tough one. I was actually – no, this is ironic.
That actually happened to Ryan at his house.
Well, this is ironic. It wasn't a black snake. I saw a red-tailed hawk in a parking lot of a very prominent national outdoor retailer chain this week. I had to meet a customer there to pick something up on Woodruff Road. Mm-hmm. It was a red-tailed hawk, mm-hmm. and there were all these little birds just bombarding this red-tailed hawk. And I'm like, what is going on? I stopped and looked with the customer, and he actually got some video of it. The red-tailed hawk was in the nest
mm-hmm.
eating chicks.
Yep.
Of course, now a few people, we stood there and watched it walk by and said, well, that's just awful. And I said, well, it's a federally protected bird. I can't go harass it. And unfortunately, that's what happens. Now, as far as controlling snakes in the landscape, there's a product that's been sold for a long, long time. Mr. T, Snake Away.
We have Snake Away.
And we have Snake Away. And we also have something else on the shelves that some of the – I know Rock Hill keeps it with the snake away. You know what we have? Because it's one-fifth the cost, and it's the same product, mothballs, okay? So if you want to try to keep the snakes away from a birdhouse, from around your porch, you can very simply run to the Dollar Tree, Dollar General, whatever. Go to the dollar store, okay? Buy some mothballs, cheap mothballs. Put them in a piece of ladies' pantyhose. I don't know, do ladies still wear pantyhose? You know, but take a little piece of ladies' pantyhose, fill it full of mothballs, tie it up, and throw them around in the landscape. Put them around that or close to that birdhouse, things like that. The naphthalene is the active ingredient in mothballs. That's what's in snake away. And sulfur. There's actually sulfur in snake away as well. But it's just an odor. That's all you can do is use an odor to try to deter them. And they say it works. I don't know. Personally, I see an issue with them getting in your birdhouse. I don't like that either. But at the same token, I've got snakes in our yard, black snakes. I like them. They eat their weight in insects during the year. They eat rats and mice and the lawn. You know, it's nature. I mean, you know, we're trying to coexist here, right? Urban development and nature.
That is my one fear.
Snakes?
I can't stand them.
Snakes don't bother me. But try the mothballs or the snake away product. That could possibly help you. I have several healthy crepe myrtles. They're just starting to bloom. I noticed a kind of powdery substance, particularly on the lower limbs. Should I be concerned? If so, what do I need to do? Chuck in Bowling Springs. I'm surprised Chuck didn't call us. You know, he normally does.
He does.
It's powdery mildew. Mm-hmm. It's the humidity. It's the afternoon thunderstorms. A few things, and this is great to kind of wrap up the show, because this is a landscape shrub question, but we can also tie it to lawns and what to expect now that the weather pattern has changed. We have heat and humidity. That's why, and I tell folks, heat and humidity is a great place to live. That's why all the universities that research insects, diseases, and things of that nature, where are they located? Majority of them are in high heat, high humidity. Missouri, North Carolina,
Texas,
South Carolina, somewhat Texas.
You can't A&M, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they do more breeding of plants,
That's true, of that nature.
Louisiana,
yeah.
Alabama, Florida, got University of Florida, which does a lot in weeds, diseases, insects. The reason they're here is because they're in the southeast is heat and humidity, okay? Because we have such a great environment to grow anything and everything, including diseases, including insects. Oh, and by the way, be on the lookout, insects. There's been some reports of armyworms in Charlotte already.
I have heard that.
So armyworms, I think it's because we had a mild winter, temperature-wise. So armyworms have already been reported in Charlotte. They're coming to a neighborhood near you. Trust me, it will happen. They always happen. But the reason we have all of this is because of our environment. So getting back to this powdery mildew, we can spray it. We said that earlier with something like Daconil. Okay, fungicide. It's a contact. Here's the bad thing with Daconil. You spray it, we get a heavy thunderstorm, it washes off the leaf, now you got to reapply. It's a contact, okay? Contacts work best on powdery mildew, in my opinion. You know, spray them with a contact, try to clean it up. But you may find that you have to spray every week or two for a couple, you know, for maybe a month to really clean it up and get it done with. But if we increase the air movement in that area, if we limit the leaf wetness, the time, the period that the leaf is wet, we may see that we have less. Okay? Now, sometimes powdery mildew can also be a combination effect. It could just be something that happens, but it can also become a big issue because we have a white fly infestation. Okay? So we may want to look and see, shake the limbs. If we see these little white things flying off, then we probably need to treat the shrub for white flies. But this shrub is no different than your lawn. As we're going into this high heat, high humidity, if we can get our thunderstorms at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I know it may ruin your swimming in the middle of the day or your round of golf. The earlier we get these thunderstorms so that we get some sunlight, I know it gets really hot and humid afterwards, but if we can get wind behind it and sunlight and we can dry that leaf surface, we'll see a little bit less disease. If these thunderstorms come 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and it stays warm and muggy all night, that leaf stays wet for a prolonged period, now we're going to run into more disease and more insect issues in that lawn and landscape. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why we want your irrigation needs to turn on at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. so that it's done by 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, okay, so that leaf can dry off quickly and not have a prolonged period of leaf wetness. You will be more successful of growing a lawn with less disease within that lawn. It's no different with shrubbery. So the other thing, too, these crepe myrtles sometimes get overflow with irrigation. Check your irrigation system. If you're watering 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, please change that time clock. Water at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, okay? Look around you. When's a golf course water? 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. There's a reason for that, right? They're trying to limit the amount of leaf wetness, the prolonged leaf wetness on the turf grass. Folks, you have been tuned in to the Yard Pro Show today, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I cannot say this enough. It has been an absolute delight. This is one of the things I look forward to every week, Scott. I know it's a Saturday morning, but it's a delight to chat with you, to interact with you, and to share some knowledge with you. If you'd like to find us during the week, it's very simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to one of our 7 stores closest to you. We hope you have a wonderful week gardening, and we hope you have a happy and safe Independence Day. Have a happy time gardening.